accession number 20620, real 1.
So it's a Bill Tichard, real 1. So can you remember your army number?
14372999.
And where were you born?
Warrington.
Yeah. When was that? What's your date of birth?
21st 6 24.
And what were your what did your father do?
It was a factory worker. That's simple. That's simple. It's a factory worker.
Mm-hmm. And your mother, did she work?
Only odd jobs, you know, cleaning one thing like they did them days, you know.
And did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, two brothers and one sister. Two sisters, one died, sorry.
And so where did you come in the family?
Second in the four of us.
And where did you go to school?
Parochial in town, Warrington town, parochial school.
And what age were you when you left?
14.
Did you have any qualifications? Or?
No.
And what did you do when you left?
I had three or four jobs. Different jobs, you know, and first of all, the very first job I had was bread lad, yeah.
What was that doing?
Delivering bread, uh-huh. Yeah. Then I went into factories, and then I went into a timber yard where I was called up from there then. Mm-hmm. That was 1942.
Do you remember the date?
Got called up, yeah, it was the 2nd of December, 42.
And how old were you then?
I was 18 and a half.
You'd known you were going to be called up?
Well, we had an idea, like, yes, that it was going to be national service, what we had to do for 2 years. But fortunately, as I say, the war came up, and that's how we carried on for 5 years then.
So what did you feel about, you know, when you knew you'd be called up? When were you looking forward to it? Or?
Well, it was an experience. We didn't really think about what it was going to be like. It was just an experience, and we find out what it would be like. And it was great when I got in. I had no qualms about it. I enjoyed my service right the way through, and even through the war I enjoyed it. I had one or two setbacks, but they went.
So can you remember actually getting your call-up papers?
Yeah, I think I do. I think it was my mother that picked them up, said there's a letter here for you. I opened it up, I said, oh, so it's my calling up papers. Of course my mother went mad.
She upset?
Yeah, well, she naturally she was upset. Of course, my father was over the moon because he was an army man from being, 16, I think, up to being about 70. All his life he was in the army, and it was his life, more or less. And
so
I think he was over the moon for me, you know. He said, you know, just look after yourself, he said, and... don't get in any trouble. He said, you'll find you'll be all right. And which he did do.
So he didn't fight in the Second World War, though?
No, what he did, he fought in the First World War, but in the Second World War, he went to the Isle of Man, where they used to have German prisoners of war in the camp there, and he was over there.
So you were got your call-up papers. Where did they tell you to go?
He told me to go to... Durham, Barnard Castle, Durham, and I did 4 weeks training there.
Right. Do you remember that journey going to Barnard Castle?
Yes, I remember it because I went with a school friend we went to school with, and we both went down on the train together, and after that we never met one another after that, only once, and that was three or four years ago now in town. I met him. I don't think he recognised me, but I recognised him.
So do you remember arriving at the camp?
Yes, it was like went into the castle like, and it was queer really, but they had these rooms like for where we stayed and billeted for the 4 weeks, where we had to do a training.
So what sort of a billet was it?
There was like wood nuts, not like when I got transferred to my unit, they were like big nishy nuts then, metal nuts, but these were wood nuts, and something like prefab type, you know, like American type prefab, like in them.
And so how many were there in the billet?
Oh, roughly, oh God. Must have been about in a billet, 25 in one billet. Yeah.
So did you find you had anything in common with them?
Yes, because there was more or less local, you know, from my own town, like from the north. So we more or less met with one another, and I think the only one was a Scots lad, and I got in with him. And at first I couldn't understand a word. It was a smashing bloke, but I couldn't understand him proper. But gradually I got used to him, and we was good mates. Then after that, I never seen him after that.
So what was it like actually sort of becoming part of the army? I mean, did you have any choice of unit or anything?
No, not really, because when you first go, you go for an interview, and the interview to find out where you want to go, which I found out after was more or less a waste of time, because they asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, well, I'd love to be a driver. I was just, right, fair enough. So anyhow, the next thing they said, right, well, we'll put you in the signal section, artillery. So that was me driving gun. So I finished up to, in the signal section of the artillery, and then they sent me on a course. First of all, I was transferred to Sutton Valence.
Right, so that was after your basic training.
After my basic
Okay.
training, they
We'll
sent me
just
to Sutton Valence.
stick with the basic training for the moment, if you don't
Yeah.
mind. So you were issued with kit when you first
Yes.
joined. What
Yeah.
was that like?
Well, it was just mesmerising, you know, how to put it together and one thing and another. But same as everything else, it came to you quite simple, and it was all learning. And I was really made up with it, you know, I couldn't believe it.
So you had to be instructed, I suppose, on how to keep it all clean and
Oh,
tidy.
yes, and it was instructions how to be kept clean and all. Everything had to be spick, span, and polished, and everything had to be square, you know. Same as when you got up in the morning, your beds had to be made up in the box fashion, and with all your kit laid out proper, and your boots turned up with the studs polished and everything else. And everything had to be polished, otherwise you was in trouble.
Did you ever get into trouble?
No, I don't think so, because I think I was pretty, what you call, regimental, you know. I like to do everything same as I do at home now. I like to be spot on, you know, more or less clean, tidy, neat.
Did they teach you how to clean boots and that sort of thing?
Pardon?
Did they teach you how to clean boots the way
You
they like
bone
them?
them, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Who was it that did this instructing? Was it the corporals or?
Like the corporals help you, like, you know, the sergeants, like, not the sergeant majors, only the sergeants. More the corporals than anything, you know. And I think more or less you picked it up as you went along, you know. You had to use your brain a bit, so you picked up as you went along, you know. You see one fella doing it, then you follow suit with the toothbrush handle and all that, you know, and the black polish, and that's how you boned them in.
So, kit inspections, so you were taught how to lay your stuff out.
Oh, yes, oh, yeah. And then they told you when the inspection was, but it was sharp, you know. They didn't give you 3 or 4 days to get ready. It was sharp inspection, 2 hours' time, so that you had to get ready and prepare for it.
So, who
And
did the inspection and what was it like?
the commanding officer and the sergeant major, and maybe a sergeant, the three, and of course, the officer looked at your kit, see what it was like. If he wasn't satisfied, he passed it to Sergeant Major, and then Sergeant Major passed it to Sergeant. And then he passed it on you, and you got in trouble, and that was it. So he had to sort it out, and it was hard, but I enjoyed it just the same. You know, it made you responsible for yourself. You had to look after yourself. If you didn't, you was in trouble.
What sort of punishments did they give people?
For anything like that, it was more or less cookhouse fatigues, extra guard fatigues, or extra fire picket. And then was the punishment you got. Unless it was bad, then I think you were sent away, but I never came across that.
I mean, it was a big change in lifestyle, wasn't it?
How did
you
adapt
to it?
Pardon?
How did you adapt to it?
I think them days, myself, them times, was everybody was really matey, really good pals. There was nobody saying, I don't like him, and I don't like him. Everybody, even through my old army career, it was always good mates. And you wouldn't hear of anybody saying anything against one another. It was just sheer, as you say, comradeship.
So did you sort of get used to the lack of privacy and sort of all bunking in together?
Well, you didn't get much privacy, really, no. Not when you was in barracks and that, you know. You got used to it, you know. At first, I might have been a bit of a shy bloke myself at first, but it grew on you, and you gradually melted in. You melted in together, and that was it, you know.
So, did you do guard duties?
Oh, yeah.
What was
worst
like?
Thing in the world. Worst thing in the world, especially if they put you on a 24-hour guard. That was like you did a night guard, then you did a full day guard on top of that. That was on duty at any front gates of the barracks or whatever. And that's why at night time you used to try and get out quick, because if you were slow, they had you. And when guard duties was that you had to go on guard parade, and you used to always have a pick, what they call a stick man. And the stick man was the best dressed man of the guard duty that was going on. And if you had got the stick man, then what you did then was go to the cook house, get the tea, and one thing, you know, like wait on the guard. See? Which was ideal. You didn't have to do any night duties, because on guard duty, I think you did four on, four off. And you weren't allowed to take any clothes, boots, or anything like that off. You had to just sleep on top of your bunk, ready for your next guard duty.
That came as a bit of a shock, did it?
Yes, it was all coming in, like, it was all gradually coming in, and what you had to get used to.
While you were doing at Barnard Castle, did you get any time for sort of time off, you know, any recreations? Or?
Not a lot, really, no. It was all, I'd say, whether they had ideas, it was something coming up, and they had to get you fit and ready for the job you had to do. It could have been that. So you was on the go more or less all the time, keeping fit, doing your jobs, what you had to do, salt courses and all that, you know, ready for any war that came up, which I think they might, at 1942, they must have had some idea that what might have been coming, see, with it being after Dunkirk. And I think this is what it was all about, getting you prepared. And we only had 4 weeks, so that's how quick it was.
So did you visit any civilian areas or meet any civilians up there?
No, not really. Not as I can recall, no.
Were you able to follow what was going on in the war? Did they brief you about what was happening, or did you see newsreels or...
Oh, yes, during the war, they kept informed what you had to do because of your job. You see, Your job was very, very important, and you didn't slip up whatsoever on what job you did. As I say, I was a signalman, and that included phone duties, wireless duties, and line duties. And I think I mostly did line duties, and that was laying lines from HQ to what you call FOO, that's your forward observation post.
Right, okay, we'll come on to that as we get there. So in basic training, drill, I suppose, is one
of the things. Oh, yeah. Well, what
helped?
You see, well, what helped me there? I wasn't too bad at that drilling, wanting to, because I was in the old guard for a few weeks, and we more or less got, they showed us marching and one thing and another. So when I went in the army, I was more or less prepared for it, and it helped me. But them that didn't, it was hard. Oh, it was hard. And once I had the instructors and that, they weren't kind to you. No way.
Did you spend a long time doing this drill? I mean, was it every day?
Oh, every day you had drill, yeah. Then in between that you had your PT instruction, keep you fit again, you know, running and one thing and another. Then, see, it all depends how far you want to go. Then every now and again you went out on what you call schemes, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. You was out in the country, planning, firing and one thing another.
Right, okay. Let's stick to the basic training for the moment.
Yeah.
So, big emphasis on physical fitness then. Did you do any route marches?
Oh, yeah. Yes, route marches, they were hard. But, as I say, they kept you fit. And this was what it was all about, keeping you fit. Because if you didn't, well, you was in big trouble again if you didn't.
And you did PT. What sorts of things did you do in that?
Gym work, you know, all the exercises, you know, on the wall bars and all that, over the vaulting and all that, boxing and all that sort of thing that really kept you fit. And I think I was fit at finish. Well, you had to be fit to do your job, what you had to do. Otherwise, you was in trouble again.
What about weapons training? What did they teach you about that? I mean,
rifles, your brain gun, and your peart, what you call a peart.
Which is a...
That's what you put on your shoulder and it fires a shell. Right. Put it on your shoulder. And, it's terrible when you first fire them.
So how long did you spend, say, with the rifle?
Regular. Because regularly you went down to firing ranges to use the rifle in the Bren and the peart. That was, as I say, you had to do because of what was coming up, and they made sure that you did it. Because these sergeants and that were from, as I say, from old hands, from Dunkirk and that, so they knew what they were talking about and what they were doing. And they was passing on their experience. And they warn you that if you didn't, what trouble you would be in if you ever went to war.
So did you use machine guns?
Machine gun is a machine gun. That's the Manchester Regiment uses them. That's a machine gun regiment. Ours was a Bren gun. Or the Sten gun, or the rifle. Well, the Sten gun came in after the rifle.
And did you do bayonet training?
Bayonet training, yeah. Sticking the dummy. Yeah.
How was that? Was that difficult?
Yes, very hard. Very, very hard. Because if you went too hard, you couldn't get your bayonet out. And, of course, you was in trouble again. And they kept at you to be really hard. You had to be really hard, you know, really going, and you didn't have to. If you were soft, as I say, you're in trouble again. If you were soft, you had to really put everything into it and mean what you did. Really mean what you did.
So some people find that quite hard, don't they?
Yes, some people do. You know, they're a bit timid about it. You know, because as I say, whether it was in the back of their mind, you know, well, have I got to do this in real life, in the war, you know? So, and this is where the instructors came in and helped you out. And they were, as I say, very good.
Did they do a lot of shouting? Oh, yeah.
All you had to do, yes, to keep you going, shouting and bawling and... more or less, when you're doing your bayonet training, that was when you did your shouting.
To make it
seem as though you was vicious, really vicious. And that's
what would the trainers shout at you?
Well, you know, it's funny, not like today. I find today if I watch anything, it's swearing a lot. But them days, it didn't seem like that, some road. No swearing, only the odd word.
What about, did you use any anti-tank weapons?
Well, the Piat was supposed to be like anti-tank, but not very much. The Piat gun was supposed to be anti-tank weapon, but as I say, the only taught is how to use those, but I never ever used them after the training.
Anti-gas precautions.
Yeah, that was another terrible thing when you had to go into this, like a big mission, which it was, and he closed the door and he put the gas on and, it's all your eyes, it's terrible. And then put your gas mask on, you know, then you came out and it's not very pleasant, I tell you. Not very pleasant.
Did anyone resent doing that?
Well, some of them used to moan about it, you know, it's not very nice. But as I say, it's apt to be done. It's apt to be done.
And that's the feeling you had then?
Yeah.
So what about tactics and field training? What sorts of warfare did they train you for in basic training?
Infantry work, yeah, but not a great deal. Because as I say, no sooner had I been transferred, I was transferred into the signals. So therefore, my job was learning about signals, not about infantry work or anything like that.
So you didn't do any trench warfare or
battlefield
skills, no.
Only with the guns, that was all.
Did you have any liaison with other units at that time during basic training?
No, I don't think so. No.
And what was there? Did you have a sort of name for the unit you were in while you were training?
How do you mean?
Did you have a company you were in while you were
training? Yeah. I was in the 83rd Field Regiment, 329 Battery, B Troop.
Yeah, one of the
basic training. That's right, yeah.
Right. So you then went on to signals training. This was after 4 weeks, was it?
No, I went to, they sent me to Wakefield. Five of us went sent to Wakefield in Yorkshire to this school of training for signals.
And when did you go there, do you remember?
Ooh, that'd be what? About 6 months after, I think it was.
Okay. So we went from there. Barnard Castle, you went straight...
No, from Barnard Castle, we got posted to the unit we was going in. Then from there, they sent us on the signal training to Wakefield. There was about six of us, I think there was, if I remember.
How did they pick you, who was going to go?
Well, I don't know, really, because this is what... I think this is what got... made a lot of fellas think what they wanted. You see, they was nearly all the same. I want to be a driver, I want to be this, and I want to be that. But it always worked opposite. Why? I couldn't even tell you, because I said I'd love to be a driver. And when it all came out, they said, well, you're a signalman. And you couldn't ask why, because you was in trouble. You had to do what you was told.
So whereabouts in Wakefield were you?
It was in Wakefield itself, Yorkshire, that town of Wakefield. And there was a training centre there for signallers. I think it was 6 weeks we did there, and that was continual all the while, day after day after day, because you had to learn Morse code, and Morse code was very, very hard, especially for an artillery signalman, because there's a difference between artillery signalman and signalman in the, what you call the REMI now. Right. See?
So how did they actually teach you the Morse code? You know, what techniques did they use?
Oh, well, they're experts. We had them from the signal section, the top dogs. Like, they were, at one time, they would probably be in a post office or something like that, and they knew the special signal section. And they used to tell you how to use your wrist on the Morse key and how to pick it up. And, oh, it was terrible. So I had to pick the dots and dashes out, you know. God, it's terrible. And then they taught you how to use those dots and dashes into another way, other than listening, say, oh, dot, dot, dash, you know, what's that? See, you know. See, well, there's certain ones used to say dot, 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 dash, dot, dash. And they say, like, da, da, di, da, da, di, da. Here comes the bride. Here comes the bride. See, and you picked it up like that, and it gradually came to you. Of course, you only got to about 10 words a minute, whereas these specialists, they go up to 20, 30 words a minute, which is all you can hear. I don't know if you've ever heard it tonight. That's all you can hear. And you try and pick that up. Terrible.
So, were they teaching you using blackboards or?
Yeah.
So you had to learn the alphabet.
Alphabet, yeah. You had to learn the Morse code alphabet and everything. And you had to learn, like, same as A was dot dash or B was three dashes. And you had to, that was all. And it was hard. It was really hard. It was hard work. But as I say, when I finished, I was made up that I could learn such things as that, you know. And you had to learn procedures as well over the air, because over the air, when you're doing procedures over the air, you've got to be careful how you do it and how you put it, because of giving information away.
Right. So how did they actually teach you the procedures? You know, what can you remember any of the procedures?
How do you mean?
Well, the ones that the sort of protocol of so that you didn't give too much away and so on.
Oh, well, they drove that into you all the while, and it had to be certain procedures all the while, and you had to stick to those. You must say, same as if you're on a phone, you use your own way of talking and one thing. In communications, you had to use certain ways, certain words at certain times, and be careful what you say.
So, apart from the actual Morse code, then, what else were they teaching you?
The wireless, using the wireless. Well, when you use the wireless, it's natural that you use the Morse code as well. See, there's times when you use the Morse code on your wireless and just Morse code only, what they call a quiet period. You say you can use the wireless for speech from one to another. But if it was anything secretive or anything like that, then it had to go with the Morse code.
William Tichard, end of reel one.